Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. And we're talking today in an oblique way. We have not left our subject, the book of Revelation, which we will get back to chapter and verse later. But this week we talked about another entity. This is the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. But there is another entity in that book, and it is Satan, Satan, the adversary of God. Now, we talked about this week what happened in Aurora, Colorado, the mass murder in the theater. And we have said, you can listen, we're not going into it again today, but we have shown this week that we believe the young man was demon-possessed. And absolutely Satan possessed every cell of his body, every bit of his mind, every bit of his, probably even his spirit. And Satan did what Satan does in that theater. Now, we have talked about, and we are talking about, what can we do about him? It is written in the book of Revelation that he has wrath, great wrath, and he goes about because he sees his time is short. Right in that same chapter of Revelation, it is written, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, he is a defeated foe. Jesus Christ defeated him. But legally, he came into this earth. Adam let him in. Adam was supposed to be the God of this world. But Satan deceived Eve. And Adam, however, it looks like he knew what he was doing when he turned over his authority and his dominion to what the Bible calls, the one the Bible calls, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the evil spirit that works in the children of disobedience. We are told in Ephesians 2 that he works in the children of disobedience. He's working in all children of disobedience in this earth, but he has possessed some people. And he did possess, I believe, James Holmes. Now, but we are told in the Word of God what we are to do about him. We went into detail yesterday on this scripture, neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27, don't let him have a place in you. We looked at some of the places and ways he can get into you, get into your thoughts. He can get into you by the things you do. What you do either says, come on, Mr. Devil, come on in. I'm opening this door. Come on in here. Or it shuts the door and says, no, you stay out of here. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. You're born again. Let's take a born again one. Satan cannot possess the spirit of a born again one, a truly born again one, but he can oppress you in your mind. And you are too, the Bible says, New Testament in the book of James, resist, James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Flee. One of the Noah Webster's definitions of that is run from as if in terror. If you resist the devil, he's going to run from you. He's terrorized by you. Don't let him terrorize you and your thoughts with the blood of Jesus covering that mind of yours. The helmet of salvation, I believe, is the blood of Jesus. And you can just take it and say, I cover my mind with the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not bringing those thoughts in here to me. That's why I don't go to movies. Many movies. I do go to a few movies, but the ones I go to are highly screened by me, whether or not I'm going to go to them or watch them on an old TV rerun or something. Because I don't want to let Satan have my mind. When you enter into a movie theater that has expletives, bad language, bad sex, violence, terrible violence, you are opening your mind to take, your brain to take little photographs of those things. And Satan then will try to bring that little photograph back up to you. And you'll have to use your valuable time to blot that out with the blood of Jesus, which you can do. But it's better not to let it in there in the first place. Better to not let that sexual scene into your mind. The Bible says, watch what you give your eyes to. Be careful what you give your ears to. We're in a generation now where eyes and ears of even preachers who grace the pulpit, who stand in the pulpit of grace, are giving their minds to scenes and scenarios. We are told not even to speak of the horrors that the world has to offer. We're told that in Ephesians where it says how to walk. It tells to us don't even mention these things. And so, what are we to do about it? We're to do what the Bible says. We are to neither give place to the devil. If we sense him coming around and casting a thought through our mind, we are to bring that thought into captivity, into the captivity of the Word of God. We are to resist the devil, and he will flee from you, run from you as if in terror. Kenneth E. Higgins said, if the devil didn't leave, you did not resist him. Because it is written, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Perhaps James Holmes started out, we haven't heard everything about him yet, but it looks like his upbringing certainly wasn't one in poverty and lack, and it looks like it was in a home. Even they went to church. But did he know to resist the devil? I doubt it, because I doubt it very much. I don't know that church taught what is written in Mark 16. In my name shall they cast out devils. That's the first thing that is written there in Mark. In my name, these signs shall follow those that believe. These signs shall follow the believing ones. What signs? These signs, Jesus said, Mark 16:17, shall follow them. Signs that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. The book of Ephesians says when he was lifted up to heaven and seated at the right hand of God, Ephesians chapter 2 says, I was raised to heaven. You were raised to heaven and seated at the right hand of God. The right hand of the throne of God is the center of power of the whole universe. John A. McMillan writes in his book, The Authority of the Believer, the elevation of his people to the heavenlies. The people of God are made sharers of his throne. They are elevated in the plan of God to exercise authority over the powers of the air, the demons. This elevation took place potentially at the resurrection of the Lord because of the believer's inclusion in him. It is written that when he was raised, we were raised. When he was quickened, we were quickened. When he was raised, we were raised. When he was seated, we were seated. It is simply ours, McMillan writes, to recognize and to take our place in humble acceptance, giving all the glory and honor to God. McMillan, in his preface to the book, The Authority of the Believer, and he died in 1956. He was a missionary to the Philippines and to China. And he writes, the rapidly approaching end of the age is witnessing a tremendous increase in the activity of the powers of darkness. Unrest among the nations, more intense than at any previous time in Earth's history. The spread of an almost wholly secularized education is quietly doing away with the scriptural standards which formerly exerted a restraining influence among the so-called Christian people. Godlessness, which we have condemned so strongly in the Soviet Union, is almost equally as pronounced, though less blatant, in our own land. Then he gives an answer to these things. To meet the situation, the Church of Christ needs a new conception of prayer. The urgent call is for men and women wholly yielded to the Lord, whose eyes have been enlightened to see the ministry in the heavenlies to which they have been called, Such believers, whether as intercessors or workers at home, and he names many other things in cases of believers, they may, all believers may, in union with the great head of the church, the body of Christ, exercise an authority to which the powers of the air must give place wherever challenged. Until someone challenges those demons in that Colorado area and takes authority over them, they will hunt for another subject. They will hunt for another person. If you're listening to this and you live in the area, you take authority over it. When this thing happened in Aurora, Colorado, my daughter-in-law and I posted this online. She comes from a military family, and the Lord gave her, Candace Brim, Chip's wife, a wonderful word of the Lord. And in that word of the Lord, he showed her that it's short and succinct. You can read it. If you can't get it, you don't go online, we'll send you a copy of it by mail. Just write us at Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, and request the prophecy, the word of the Lord that God gave Candace Brim after the Aurora shooting. And he said to her that we are, he said, pray. He said, you are set. God, you are placed. God has placed you in situation, in the town you live in the area you live in, to protect that area, just as an army, a natural army, is stationed to protect a certain area. Your city, your town, you protect it. You take authority over the prince of the power of the air. You bring down strongholds. You speak the blood of Jesus. And in that book, this wonderful book, The Authority of the Believer, which we are offering to you this week at a very reduced price, just call us at 1-800-972-3447 and request Authority of the Believer and also The Blood and the Glory. We're offering it, my book. But this is page 27, and I tell people, I give them this book, I give away this book all the time, and I tell them to read Macmillan's book, take their God-given authority, and do page 27. Here is what he wrote in page 27. Do we believe that God, quote, hath quickened us together with Christ, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus? If we do, our reaction to it will be a fervent, Lord, I accept your gracious word. I believe that you have thus wrought for me. In humble faith, I do now take my seat in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus at your right hand. Teach me how to fulfill this sacred ministry, how to exercise the authority which you have entrusted to me. Train me day by day that I may attain to the full stature of the perfect man in Christ, so that in me your purpose of the ages may be fulfilled. Amen. If we are walking in the Spirit, our normal life is in the heavenlies. To secure the consciousness of this, there must be the daily acceptance of the fact. Let us morning by morning, as one of our first acts of worship, take our seat with Christ as suggested in the previous paragraph, and return thanks to God for all that it implies. Let us remind ourselves that we are seated far above all the powers of the air, and they are in subjection to us.